Good morning, Journey. So glad that you could join us today as we do our live feed again. And happy Mother's Day to all of you moms out there. I think of my own mom and just the remarkable mother that she is and all that she put into my sister and I. And I think of my sister and her investment in her three children. And then also I think of course, my wife, and I get to watch every day how she mothers our five children, and it's just been amazing. You know, we still have a young one at home, and yet we have a lot of young adults now. So we're kind of in a couple stages, and we have one that's gone off and gotten married. And so it's just exciting to watch her do her work as a mother, investing in the next generation. So I hope you have a wonderful day, moms. And just one opportunity, if you're interested, if you come by the church building today from noon to one, our ladies ministry will have some flowers for you. So you can just drive up and they'll bring them out to you so that we're following all the virus mandates and all of that. But just want to just say congratulations and have a wonderful Mother's Day. So I do want to mention our message for next week is going to be, how do I start over when I've blown it? You know, have you ever failed? Have you ever really messed up? How do you start over? So we're going to talk about that next week. So I'd like to pray and we'll get into our message this morning. Dear God, thank you for each person that has tuned in, that's made the effort to connect with Journey Church this morning. Lord, I do lift up the moms. I do ask for your blessing on their lives. Lord, I do pray for those in particular who Mother's Day is difficult. I think of women who wanted to be moms but never had the opportunity. And I just pray that you would comfort and encourage. There may be many watching today that their moms have passed away. And so I pray that you would come alongside of them and comfort and encourage. There may be moms who aren't able to be with their kids today, or maybe they're estranged. Maybe there's not a good connection right now. And so I just pray you would be with them, encourage them as well. And Lord, because of this virus, there are some moms and grandmothers in nursing homes that can't get visits. And so I just pray that in a special, profound way, they will experience the warmth of your love for them, and they'll experience that today. Lord, I do ask for your blessing on our time together. We ask it in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So, when I think about Mother's Day, I think of, you know, moms and all the different ways that kids think. And I really enjoy how kids think. There was a teacher once who had given a second grade class a lesson on magnets. And as a review question, she said, okay, class, my name starts with M, and I pick up things. What am I? And one little boy raised his hand quite enthusiastically, and he said, a mother? And maybe that's how you feel this morning. Maybe you've been already cleaning up or picking up a little bit. I also think of a father and son one time. There was the mother was pregnant, and the father asked the little boy, his birthday was coming up, and he said, what would you like for your birthday? And the little boy said, I'd really like a baby brother. Well, it worked out, and he got a baby brother just about the time of his birthday. And so the next year, the dad asked his son, he said, well, you know, hey, little guy, what would you like for your birthday this year? And the little boy said this, he said, Dad, what I really want is a pony, but I'm afraid that would be too hard on Mom. So I just like how kids think, and I think it's kind of enjoyable, and part of the joy of being a parent is getting to interact with kids. And the bond with a mom is something special. I mean, you'll see these big football players, and if you could go back in their past, a lot of them, you'd see a dad out there throwing the football, a dad out there coaching their football team, and yet when you stick a microphone in the face of that big football player, overwhelmingly what I've seen is the first thing they say is, hi, Mom. There's something about that bond. And so today we want to honor moms and parents in general. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, the Bible says this, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So it's an actual command with a promise attached, with a benefit attached. And, you know, we we do live longer, I think, if we follow our parents' wisdom, if we are listening and making sure that we are doing what they say as we grow up. It's important to look both ways before you cross the street, all those kinds of things that mom gives us. So this morning, what I want to talk about are two main ideas. One is that mom is the original connection. And I did have an outline. It should be available on our Facebook page if you're an outline person. But mom really is the original human connection. You know, God made us, but he made us in this unique way where we spend, you know, 9 months in a mother's womb and she, you know, listening to her heartbeat, hearing her voice. I mean, literally connected with the umbilical cord. And it is a picture of the fact that we are hardwired, we are created for human connection. You know, a lot of us have experienced some difficulties with connection lately because of the virus. Maybe we've been put online for most things. I've gone to a lot more Zoom meetings than I care to be honest. Went to one the other day. It was for a missions class I was taking, and I couldn't get on. I couldn't get a good connection, and it was about 15 minutes, and I finally gave up. I just, you know, forget it. And so we all need connections in our lives, and we definitely need connection at this point, this season, with this virus that we're facing and the difficulties that we're facing. You see, connection is part of how we're wired, and it's what makes us fully the people that God wants us to be. Dr. Sue Johnson says about our connection, "A good relationship is better health insurance than a careful diet, and a better anti-aging strategy than taking vitamins." And mom is that initial human connection, so important. And while not every woman is a mother, every woman has a mother. And if you want to understand her, you probably want to ask her some questions about her bond, her connection with her mom, and you'll begin to understand her better and listen. Now, the role of mom honestly can be overwhelming. It can almost, with some ladies, feel like it just takes over who they are. I think of author Rebecca Hill, and she talks about when she was a little girl in a store, and she got lost. And I mean, she was really small, and the manager of the store was going to go over the PA system and announce, you know, try to get mom to come, you know, find the daughter. And so he says to Rebecca, this little girl, says, "What's your mom's name?" And Rebecca had never thought about it. She didn't realize her mom had a name besides mom. And so thankfully she did know her last name, and so he was able to ask by the last name, and so mom was able to come. But it's that big of a role for people. It can be overwhelming at times, but it is an important role. It makes a difference in the lives of children. When a baby is attached, when a baby bonds with its mother, they see that child will develop more self-control. They'll be able to self-regulate their emotions. There's just a lot that happens. When a baby isn't able to connect with a mom, doesn't have that connection, they talk about failure to thrive. As a matter of fact, Dr. Sue Johnson shares about the early studies of those institutionalized children, those that they were fed and they were, you know, they had clothes and they were housed and all of that, but they didn't have the human touch. And really, a lot of those children died before their third birthday. They called it failure to thrive because that human touch, that human connection is so vital and so crucial. And that mom connection with her child is just an amazing gift that God gives us. I like the old Celtic saying that is, live in the shelter of each other. And a mom and her child is the beginning of that and how that walks itself out. The importance of touch and hugging, it's vital. Even the formidable Navy SEALs, who we think of as independent and rough and tough, they have some basic evaluation questions when they find themselves in a real jam. The first question is they ask, "Where am I?" The second question is, "Where is the enemy?" And the third question is, "Where is my buddy?" You see, they're looking for that connection, somebody to go through this with, someone to walk alongside of them. We are created and wired for connection, and that initial one is with our mothers. And so it is a powerful thing. Even a little baby can sense from a mother's love that they matter, that they're important, that they're loved. And so it's so important that we have this. And so your work as a mother is vital. It is a high and holy calling. Elizabeth Stone once said about motherhood, she said, "It is to be a mother is to decide forever to have your heart go walking around the outside of your body." In a lot of ways, it reminds me of God's love for us, a mom's love. Because moms see with clarity. They see your flaws and the difficulties that you face, but they see that wholeness and they see what you can become and they love you anyway. And so that's a powerful picture of God's love for us. Now, I want you to imagine how important Jochebed, the mother of Moses. This is a story that comes from the Old Testament book of Genesis. Excuse me. Moses was born into a terrible situation, a genocide against the Jewish boy babies. And yet his mother held him and hid him and protected him for as long as she possibly could for several months. And then finally she was so desperate because she knew they were going to get caught that she prayerfully decided to take this baby, her Moses, her son, and put him in a basket and put him into the Nile and have the daughter, the sister, watch and see what would happen. She trusted God fully. And God directed that little basket. There are crocodiles, there's all kinds of things that could have happened in the Nile, and directed that basket, and the daughter of Pharaoh took Moses out of that basket and raised him as her own. And then I love the detail of where the sister volunteers the mother and brings the mother in to be the one to nurse Moses and to help take care of him. Can you imagine how that mother just poured into Moses, that little baby, how special he was, how God had protected him, how God loved him and was going to do great things with his life. And so this role, this connection is so powerful in our lives. President John Quincy Adams once said about his mother and her influence, he said this, "All that I am, my mother made me." And so it is really important. And it's not the big elaborate, the big showy things that a mom does. It's the simple things. You know, I want you to think about this particular activity. The research says that if you do this one activity with consistency, here are the results. This one activity will give your child a 40% greater chance of getting A's and B's in school. This one activity, if you do it consistently, will make your child 3 times less likely to try marijuana, 2 times less likely to smoke cigarettes, and 1 time less likely to get into alcohol. Helps teenagers know that their parents care about them. Helps teenagers realize that they can confide in their parents. And this one activity is the family dinner, the family eating together on a regular basis. That simple thing that many moms put a lot of effort into to make that happen. And it's such a challenge, but it has such a profound influence on children. And so we need to understand this, that original primary connection with moms makes a huge difference. Now, one great, I think, illustration or picture of this connection, I was reading about Clara Harden. And Clara Harden, she and her 4 siblings had this amazing mom. And yet her mom got a brain tumor and she was going to die. And she only had a short period of time before she was going to die. And so she prepared for her death. And the family was devastated when they lost the mom. But as the weeks went on, they found throughout the house and in different places that she had spent her final weeks there, their mother, writing all these little notes, sometimes funny, sometimes just little notes of kindness, sometimes longer letters, and had hid them all over their house. And they found a lot of them initially as they began to look and they realized what she had done. but others, like, she had hid in the Christmas decorations. So they didn't come out till they got the Christmas decorations. And other letters and notes from the mom who had passed away showed up at different times. She had given them to friends of the family or relatives. And so when Clara graduated high school, she got a special note from her mom. When she got married, she got a special letter from her mom. And so I think it's such a great picture of that bond and that connection between a mother and a child. Now, when you think about this, connection is crucial, but Christ is essential. And so when you think about the purpose of your parenting, what are you aiming for? What are you trying to see happen in the life of your child? Is it just that they will get a particular level of education or learn a trade? Those are good things. Is it that they will make a certain amount of money? Is it that they'll be happy? I think most parents want their kids to be happy. Is it that they'll be married and give you grandchildren? What's the purpose? What's the aim, the direction of your mothering, of your parenting? And I think the second idea is this, in that Christian mothering helps create the faith connection. The faith connection. In Proverbs 22, verse 5 and 6, it says this, "In the paths of the wicked are snares and pitfalls, but those who would preserve their life stay far from them." And a mom helps direct a child away from the trouble spots. My mom used to say something, she'd say, "Bad company corrupts good character." And as a child, I thought that was just something my mom said, but then I found it in the Bible later. She kind of oozed the truth of Scripture. If you keep going in Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." And so you get to direct your children. Now, they have free will, and you can't control everything, but you can definitely set a course. You can definitely point them in the right direction. When I was in junior high, I ran on a relay sprinting team. And I will tell you that we won or lost our races in those moments where we were passing the baton. If you drop that baton, the race is lost, or at least it doesn't, you know, you've decreased your chances. If that baton transfer goes well, then your team does really well and often can win. I want you as a mother, as a parent, to think about transferring intentionally the baton of faith. You heard from several of the mothers how they try to do that with prayer and some other ways. And so that's something that we need to think about. How are we intentionally handing the baton of faith to the next generation? It's so important. This is, I think, the most important part of parenting. Because your child could be successful, but don't you want to spend forever in heaven with them? Charles Swindoll once said this. He said, "No one is poor who has a godly mother." And I think that is really true. See, we live in a culture, we are bombarded with all these messages and truth claims. One source I was reading, Dave Stone, said we are bombarded with over 1,000 ads every day. Every day. That's a lot. That's crazy. And yet, we want to be parents who sow the truth into the lives of our children. It's been said that an ounce of mother is worth more than a pound of clergy. And I think that that's true. I think that a godly mother has a profound influence on a young boy or a young girl. Your prayers matter. It is an incredible tool that God has given you to pray for your child, to invite God into your parenting, to cry out. You know, James talks about, hey, if you don't have wisdom, ask God for wisdom. And He'll give it to you. And so often, situations that come up, you know, we're facing something, we need to pray about it and ask God to direct us. We're not sure whether we should say yes or no to this particular thing that our child is asking, this opportunity. And so we want to be that. I want you to think about the prayers of Sarah in the Old Testament. In the book of Genesis, we have the first book of the Bible, we have the story of Abraham and Sarah. And I want you to imagine, you know, they wanted children. And so every month, Sarah faced disappointment of her adult life. Every month, no child, not pregnant, not going to happen. And then finally, in her old age, God comes to them and says, you're going to have not only a child, but you're going to be parents of a nation. Your descendants are going to be like the sand on the seashore, the stars in the sky. It's an incredible promise. And can you imagine when finally, after years and years and years of waiting, Sarah and Abraham have this child? Can you imagine as Sarah holds that child and whispers in his ear about how he is a miracle, how he is an answer to their prayers? And she is setting him up for a life of a faith connection, connecting him to God. She is sowing that into him. Jim Daly, the leader of Focus on the Family, says this: prayer is truly the greatest work I can do on behalf of my children. And so it is important that you pray for your children. Do it regularly. And sometimes it'll feel like, you know, it's not making a difference, or my child is rejecting the faith. But understand, all the studies say that the number one factor when it comes to the faith of a young adult is the faith of the parents. It does make a difference. They may wander for a bit, but it does make a difference. And so you are pointing your child in the right direction. So your prayers matter. Your example is powerful. One author said this: keep yourself clean and bright. You're the window through which your children see God. And that's so true. If they see in you faithfulness and consistency and grace and truth and honesty, they'll see that in God as well. I love what Paul says. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, very bold, but he says this: follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Every mother needs to grab hold of that. That is so important, because they are watching. Those little children are watching. You know, usually in every political campaign, there is a hot microphone moment where the candidate thinks he is there and with just his friends and supporters, and he tells a joke or says something that he wouldn't have said if he knew the camera and the microphone were running. And there are those moments where you get caught off guard. I laughed the very first week that we did this live feed. We'd never done it before. The first week, we thought we were all shut down. And afterwards, I go and check my phone, and there's all these text messages from my wife and my kids going, we can hear you. Stop talking. I didn't get the message in time. And so here's what you need to understand. The mic is always on. Your kids are always listening. Do you tell the truth in a jam? Do you honor Christ with your non-Christian friends? Do you ever share the gospel with anybody? The mic is always on. We need to live that way with our children. And moms, you have a profound effect. If you live consistently, it is incredible. They grab it. They grab hold of it. They see that authenticity, and they want to live it out. Seriously, ask yourself, is there a higher calling than helping the next generation become fully devoted followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? There's nothing better you can do with your time than that. I want you to understand that these children ultimately are God's children, and He is loaning them to you to invest in and to raise up and to launch them. I think Mary is a great example in the New Testament, because, you know, she knew this was God's child. This is the Son of God. This is Jesus. Could you imagine feeling the weight of that responsibility? You better believe she was pouring scripture into him. You better believe she was praying for him. Can you imagine? I'm being trusted with God's Son. But in a sense, we all are being entrusted with God's children. He made them and put them in our hands. And I love that, because, you know, in those moments where maybe you're not connecting with your child, maybe you're having a point of conflict, remember, God made that child and put that child in your family. And that's a profound truth that you can rest in. Even if it's an adoption situation, I believe in a sovereign God who orchestrated that so that you have the child you're supposed to have, and so that we can point them in the right direction and they can have a faith connection. In Psalm 127, verse 3 and 4, I love what it says and the image it gives. It says, children are a heritage from the Lord, just a reminder that they come from Him, offspring, a reward from Him. And then it says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. And so just as you would point an arrow at a particular direction, we point a child towards God. And we have that ability, we have that responsibility, and it's a powerful thing that we can do. Now, there are rules when you have to parent a child. You know, there are rules that they have to keep and you have to make sometimes. But understand, the idea is not to just give them the laws of God. One author said this, and I love it, said, the idea is really to woo them to the love and grace of God, to point them to this loving Heavenly Father that wants what is best for them. And so I want you to think about, you moms, what is your overarching vision of motherhood? What is your overarching vision of success in motherhood? This is something I very much appreciate in my mom. I knew from a young age that really the goal was this, that someday she wanted to be there and watch and I be in front of Jesus Christ, and it's the day I answer to Him. And He says, Derek, well done, good and faithful servant. What career I chose? Secondary. Who I married? Secondary. How many kids I had? Secondary. Although she was rooting for lots of them, right? Will I be a follower of Jesus Christ? That's what matters most. That's what success looked like to her, and I hope that's what success looks like to you. There's a lot of good things you can put into your kids, but point them in that direction so that they have that faith connection. We all want our kids to flourish, and flourishing is that abundant life that Jesus talks about, and it's having a relationship with God. I go back to this example some, but it was a profound study that the sociologists did at the turn of the 20th century. And they went and found 1,200 descendants of one man back in colonial times, and his name was Jukes. He was kind of a shiftless, lazy guy. His wife liked to get drunk, and they tracked his history. They tracked his descendants. They came up with 1,200 descendants from colonial times to, you know, as far as they took the study. Out of those 1,200 descendants, they found 300 professional beggars, 100 convicted criminals, 60 who were thieves and pickpockets, 400 who had serious drug or alcohol issues. They would even call them addicts. 7 who were convicted murderers. Of the 1,200 descendants of Jukes, only 20 ever bothered to learn a trade, and half of those learned the trade while in jail. Less than 200 of his descendants finished high school. None attended college, and it just went on and on and on. It was a dark picture of a spiritual legacy that was devoid of godly influence. And at about the same time, you had Jonathan Edwards, the famous preacher and author, and his remarkable wife, Sarah. And they tracked his descendants, and a lot less, about 400 descendants versus the 1,200 of Jukes. And in the same basic time period, those 400 descendants, you had a U.S. vice president from Jonathan Edwards' family line, 3 U.S. senators, 3 governors, 3 mayors, 13 college and university presidents, 30 judges, 65 were college professors, 100 lawyers, 60 doctors. Several descendants had written books and published newspapers. And then this was the most fascinating piece to me. Listen to what they said. Until the beginning of the 20th century, every major industry in America had as its founder or primary promoter an offspring of Jonathan and Sarah Edwards. When you follow God, when you point kids in the right direction, it makes a profound difference. Now, that's pretty stark. It's pretty dramatic. And our lives may not be quite that dramatic, but you have a huge influence for generations to come. I'm amazed. You know, I look at my grandparents and I see some of those traits in my kids. And it's just, it's impressive what you can sow. And I want you to think about it this way. I appreciated, one author said this, that every time you have an encounter with a child, it is a divine appointment. And so maybe it's not your biological child. Maybe you're a foster parent. Maybe you're a youth sponsor. But every time you have an encounter with a child, it's a divine appointment, and you can sow great good in them. Now, I know motherhood. I've watched it. And, you know, obviously I haven't done it because I'm a father, but I've watched motherhood, and it is a lot of stuff is tedious and difficult. A lot of it's, you know, just cleaning up again and doing this again, and it can feel like you're not going anywhere. And honestly, when you're changing a diaper, it doesn't feel like you're changing the world, but you really are. You are making a difference. You're imprinting your love into that child, and it can make a profound impact on both their lives, the lives of our community, and even our nation. So the big idea is this for Mother's Day. I want you to remember this. Christian mothering is powerful, offers children both connection and Christ. Let me say it one more time. Christian mothering is powerful. It offers children both connection and Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for today. I thank you for the mothers and the grandmothers who are pouring into the next generation. I thank you for their unique feminine perspective and how they approach relationships. Lord, you have designed us in different ways, and it is a profound gift that a mother gives her children. Lord, I do lift up those who are struggling in some way today. I pray for your comfort and your encouragement. And Lord, I just pray that each mother will embrace this incredibly high and holy calling to have an impact for generations to come through her work, through her love. And I pray they will feel affirmed and honored because of this calling you have given them. I ask for this and ask for your blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today. There is one more slide, and that just has the church's contact information, the phone number if you have questions for me, the website if you want to give to this congregation, or if you have want some more information. There's also the physical address if you want to mail something to us, or if you're a mom and want to come by today from 12 to 1 and pick up a flower from our ladies ministry. So thanks for coming, and have a wonderful and great day.